I would not be so foolish to drag you to death, because Jesus is alive. Bow with me in prayer. Our Father, thank you for the ministry of the Bible, the bread of life. Touch our hearts in a special way today with resurrection power. In your name we pray. Amen. Talking to you about a visit to the tomb. It was my privilege many years ago to stand in the pulpit of the great Cathedral of Tomorrow in Akron, Ohio, looking over those 5,400 seats, a massive crowd. But the thing that inspired me was the great cross, 100 feet long, a white cross on the ceiling that gave vent to the realization of the cross of Christ. I've often admired Roy Rogers, who would not have a concert without singing "The Old Rugged Cross." But I want to talk to you today about a visit to the tomb. We're going to go where Mary went early that morning to go to the tomb. And there she found out it was a gateway to heaven. Number one, the inspiration of the tomb. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. Jesus had been born in a womb where a baby had never laid, and now in a tomb where a body had never laid. And many people travel around the world to see different people and tombs. 100,000 people went to see Lenin's tomb, but Lenin was still there. Thousands of people went to see Stalin's tomb. In fact, 109 people died at that funeral by being crushed with the crowd and with horses. 1 million people went to Abraham Lincoln's memorial, with millions of others watching as the train went by, but his body was still there. We went to King David's tomb, but his body was still there. But over 400,000 people every year go to the Garden tomb, but Jesus is not there. I know he's not there. I was there. He wasn't there. Amen. Let me tell you, when we had that tour to the Holy Land, it was in the Garden tomb. A man that was part of our group was in his 80s. He was not a Christian. But when he saw that open tomb, it all came to him. And right there, he was inspired, and he gave his life to Christ. Number two, the invitation to the tomb. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. See that pure, principal, peaceful, purposeful, prayerful place of peace. No obnoxious odor there. It's a quiet spot. All of us long for a garden of peace, don't we? To lay down by the pebbling brook with fair flowers and nodding willows, where you can hear the hum of summer bees. Yes, Easter speaks of the peace of a garden. Number three, the proclamation of the tomb. Do not be afraid. He's not here. The angel is sitting on the stone. The Bible says the grave clothes were lying there. I like what Stan sings. The grave was not empty. It was full of my sins. Number four, the attention of the tomb. There was a great earthquake. When you look at that tomb, it was a beautiful, beautiful stone. It was a borrowed tomb, but he only borrowed it 3 days and three nights. It was a boulder, a marble. It was a beloved tomb. His grave sanctified all graves wherein his children lie. Number five, the instruction from the tomb. The angel said, go tell quickly what's happened. That's what we need to do. That's what we've been doing for 75 years around the world, by radio, by television, and online. We've been telling people Jesus is alive. I want to tell you, friend, away with all of these minor doctrines where people have confusion and division. Let's get back to the main thing, that Jesus Christ died, that the third day he arose again. He said, go preach the gospel. What is the gospel? G is good news. O is an open door. S is salvation. P is peace. E is eternal life. And L is love that will never let us go. Number six, the emotion at the tomb. They went out with sorrow, but also with joy. Why deep sorrow? Because he laid there murdered, and we did it. All my sin, my cruel sins, his chief tormentors were. Each of my crimes became a nail, and unbelief the spear. You and I slew him that day, But there's not only sorrow, there's joy, because Jesus conquered Satan. He conquered sin. He conquered the sting of death. He conquered sadness. He conquered the sorrow of death. And we have hope of eternal life. No more sorrow, sighing, suffering, stigma, shadows of separation. I was talking to Mary Maitland the other day. Over 20 years ago, she reminded me. I was sitting in my office in Marysville, and I got the call. Pastor Johnny, this is Mary. My grandson is dead. Little Tyler, not even 2 years of age, was run over by mistake by his father. What a funeral that was. That little boy had 40 nicknames, and I had to name them all at the funeral. And I told her, I said, you know, David's little boy died. But David said, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. Are you glad that there's hope? Give the Lord a hand of praise. There's hope in the Lord. What am I going to see in heaven? I'm going to see my Redeemer there. I'm going to see my relatives there. I'm going to see my resources there. I'm going to see my riches there. I'm going to see my rewards there. I'm going to see my residence there. What a hope. But last of all, at the tomb, it's appointed to man who wants to die. Go back and stoop again and look into the grave. That's where all of us shall be someday. Hark from the tomb of doleful sound, my ears attend the cry. Ye living men, come view the ground where you must shortly lie. Oh, the grave must be your bed in spite of all your powers. The tall, the wise, and the reverent may lie as low as ours. The outline of life is the tender teens, teachable 20s, thriving 30s, fiery 40s, forceful 50s, silent 70s, aching 80s, shortening of breath, and we meet death. Did you ever think as the hearse goes by, someday both you and I will take a ride in that big black hack and never remember coming back? Rake, scrape, borrow, or save, you'll lose it all when you go to the grave. Money a dead man's hand won't hold, nor can life be purchased but silver and gold. If life were a thing that money could buy, the rich would live, the poor would die. Have you ever played the game Monopoly? You want Park Place and you want Boardwalk and all the rest. But after you get it all, when the game is ended, all the pieces are picked up and put back into the box. So it is with the material things of life. A man was dying. He brought his family together, and he said to his son, he said, you can have the property over on the east side, and the other son, you can have the property on the west side, and to his daughter, you can have the property in the middle of the town. While he was dying, the nurse said to his wife, oh, he must have been a rich man to own all that property. She said, no. He's just a mailman. You see, you can't take it all with you, can you? I want to give you some samples of people that knew, names that you know. People often think, well, you know, salvation is for people that are not very well known. Have you ever heard of John F. Kennedy? He knew a little bit about the Bible when he went to Dallas. He was handsome, he was young. He was husband, he was father. He was rich, he was president. And the gun took him out. Do you know what he had in his speech that he was going to give in Dallas that day? These words, what shall it profit a man if he gained the world and loses his own soul? Have you ever heard of John Wayne? John Wayne lie on his deathbed. His daughter by his side. Rex Humbard came on television and pointed to the screen and said, if you're lying there in your deathbed, if you've got the strength, roll down on your knees. John Wayne did that, gave his life to Christ. His daughter said, that is the greatest act my dad has ever done. Have you ever heard of President Eisenhower? Do you know he was visited by Billy Graham? Billy Graham went in and they said, you can only have 20 minutes with him. But after the 20 minutes was over, He said, "Billy, I want you to stay. I got a question to ask you. How can I know that I'm going to heaven when I die?" How many know that's an open door? And right there, as Billy Graham would do, he gave him the message. And they bowed and they prayed the sinner's prayer. Eisenhower looked up and said, "Now, Billy, you can go. Now I know everything is all right." D. James Kennedy went to visit Ronald Reagan. And he thought, "This is the only time I'll probably see him. I can't miss the opportunity." And he said, "Mr. President, if you were to die and God would ask you the question, 'Why do you have a right to come to my kingdom?' what would you say?" Do you know what Ronald Reagan did? He bowed his head for quite a long time. Then he lifted his head and said, "I'm not worthy." But he said, "There is John 3:16. Whosoever believes shall have eternal life." Isn't it wonderful to have that marvelous assurance that God so loved the world? Pastor Billy often closes his sermons by saying, "God loves you." I'm going to say that God loves you. He always has and he always will. God loved you before you were born. God loved you even when you didn't know yourself. God loved you when you were a sinner. God loves you. And he doesn't want to let you go. You may die unsaved, but you never die unloved. God loves you to the end. Hanging and bleeding on a cross, coming out of the tomb, alive for you, that you might have eternal life, that you can know where you're going when you die. Billy Graham's daughter came to speak at our tent meeting, and she only had a 3-point message. She said, "I want to ask you 3 questions. Number one, who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. Number two, what did Jesus do? He died and rose again from the dead. Number three, what does Jesus want you to do?" You know what he wants you to do? He wants you, whoever you are, that you're not sure you're saved here today, or all across the country watching by line, he asks you to repent of your sin, ask for forgiveness, ask Christ to come into your life and become your Savior. You can do that today. For those that are watching all over the country, I want to pray a prayer for you right now. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me as we pray. Say, "Dear God, I'm sorry for my sins. I know that I have failed, that I have sinned against you, O God. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart as my only Savior. Live in my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America is our prayer. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody leaving the building, please.